Let us pray. Baptized and baptizing God, you gave us life. With water you sustain our bodies, and with the Holy Spirit you sustain our souls. Speak to us this day through your word, that we might move more closely to your Son Christ, and in doing so, move closer to you. Amen. So the baptism of Jesus Christ, that's what we read in our gospel reading today. It's iconic in its imagery, really. Almost all of us can picture the scene in our minds, and in many cases, the picture is pretty close to the same. Let's take a moment and picture it together. I invite you to close your eyes. John the Baptist, a ragged-looking guy, covered in dirt from the waist up, uncombed, unkempt hair, wearing some camel skin, and which leaves very little to the imagination. He's waist-deep in the Jordan, with people lined up on the shore. One by one, they approach John, offer their repentance, and John plunges them into the water. Each person comes up refreshed, very much renewed. Somewhere down the line, there's a man, a regal-looking man, with a fine-trimmed beard, long flowing white robes, the hint of a smile on his lips. And there's something about his eyes. So ancient for one so young, like they have seen the dawn and sunset of centuries, but still long to find something fresh and new. The closer he gets to John, the less alike they seem. Where one is clean, the other is dirty. Where one is calm and serene, the other seems a jumble of emotions. In one moment, both ecstatically happy and outraged. Then the man in the white robes is in front of John. And John, who has been so full of energy to this point, seems reserved, almost reluctant to baptize this one. But after a short conversation, John baptizes this man. But as he comes up out of the water, as his head breaks the surface, the sky opens, and a voice is heard by all present. "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The world returns to normal, but we can feel it. Nothing is going to be normal ever again. You can open your eyes. How we pictured all of this happening in our minds is pretty much the way that the world has remembered the baptism of Jesus. The ragged baptizer, the regal baptized, and the roaring voice. But to be honest, I feel like we're only getting 2/3 of the stories right here. We know that John was a pretty haggard-looking fellow, because both Matthew and Mark describe him that way. And we know that there was a voice that roared from the heavens as it was torn apart, because Matthew, Mark, and Luke all agree that there was. But where did the world get this image of Christ that we're so used to seeing? Where does the white-robed, clean-cut Jesus from the stained glass come from? What about that picture that we've all seen? They're usually in parlors of churches. Sometimes they're in people's homes. It's got Jesus looking off with just the hint of a smile on his face. Divine. Beautiful. Clean cut. Where did that guy come from? The truth is that this clean cut Jesus is an image that came about hundreds of years after Jesus had died. Probably around the same time when people were arguing about how much God this Jesus fellow actually was. To make him appear more divine, artists gave him a cleaner image. This image set him apart from the dust and the dirt that was the Middle East of those days. And when they painted his face, they always had that smile, or the hint of a smile. He was never over the moon with emotion, embracing a more reserved Christ. For hundreds of years, we've been focusing on the clean Jesus, the God Jesus. This is good because to ignore the divinity of Christ, to ignore God's hand reaching out, we're ignoring the love of God, but also God seeking to feel what it was like to be loved as humans love. But by focusing so much on that crisp, clean, straight-haired Jesus, that God Christ, we ignore the human Jesus who was dealing with all the same issues that the other regular people of his day were dealing with. This Jesus isn't one that we see in paintings very often, nor does he end up depicted on stained glass. This is because the human Jesus, the one that actually walked around, probably looked too much like everybody else. A little too much dirt on his face, hair that probably hadn't seen water in weeks, let alone a comb. As far as anyone looking at him would have been able to tell, he was ordinary. He was like everybody else. But for some reason, the church decided that there was something wrong with an ordinary Jesus. What if people start asking hard questions about this regular guy? When we talk about the divinity of Christ, we ask hard questions like, if Jesus was the Son of God, why would God let Jesus die? But do you know what a hard question is when it comes to the humanity of Christ? What do you think some of the hard questions might be when we talk about Christ's humanity? What questions might come to mind when we talk about this human Jesus? Any ideas? What would you want to ask about human Jesus? Come on, folks. No questions for human Jesus? We're all up on the divine and holy Christ. We don't have any questions for dirty Jesus? What was his favorite food? That's right. He must have eaten. Right? Did he prefer goat's milk? I don't know. What did he like to do for recreation other than walk around? What did he do for fun when he wasn't healing people? One of the hardest questions that doesn't get asked very often when we are confronted with the humanity of Jesus is actually tied to that question of what was Jesus' favorite food. Did Jesus go to the bathroom? Think about it. It's a ridiculous question, to be sure. But it captures that part of humanity that everyone does. And at the same time, it's not clean and anything but divine. If we can get our head around that, if we can get our head around accepting that Jesus went to the bathroom, then all those other human aspects are tame. Yes, Jesus was the Son of God. Yes, Jesus healed people. Yes, Jesus fed the 5,000. And yes, Jesus pooped. Fully divine, fully human, the good and the not so good. Once we get past this, and it might seem silly, but once we get past this, we can address so many other things. Like that picture of Jesus calmly staring off into the sky with half a smile, as though nothing in the world could bother him. Once Jesus becomes a regular guy, we can start to chip away at that facade. Yes, Jesus had a great smile, maybe. But he was bothered by things, too. He gets angry when his disciples can't do the simplest thing, like stay awake. And he weeps at the loss of a friend. He was a man of emotion. And he was pretty sarcastic, too. He often snapped back at the Pharisees who were trying to trap him with biting quips, not to be attributed to one so divine. But Jesus wasn't some self-help guru with a halo over his head. He got frustrated, he got annoyed, and like anybody, things got under his skin. But you know what the great thing about this dirty Jesus. He was relatable. He was a hard-working laborer, just like all of the other hard-working laborers. He saw his lot in life, the lot that so many of his day had to put up with. And he said no. And the people listened. The people got behind him. People followed this dirty Jesus because he wasn't speaking for them. He was speaking as one of them. But somewhere along the line, we washed all the humanity out of Jesus and put that clean image of him up on a pedestal. But with all the ways that we changed Jesus to make him more divine than human, we forgot to stop saying, be Christ-like. We still say that all the time, even though we've got this pedestal Christ, this divine Christ that no one can measure up to. We never stop saying, be Christ-like. How can we hope to approach that image of Christ when we took away everything about him that made him like us? Because that's the point, isn't it? Not only that God dwell with us to offer the world a model of being, but also that God might live amongst us, living as we lived, loving as we loved, hurting in the same ways that we hurt. This means that maybe, just maybe, Jesus at the event of his baptism wasn't so different from John the Baptist. Maybe, just maybe, Jesus isn't so different from you and me. So yeah, probably Jesus didn't have the cleanest hair. And his clothes probably smelled bad from walking and sweating for weeks on end. And yes, Jesus' face was dirty. But it was a face that God loved. One that was perfect in God's sight, not in spite of the dirt, but because of it. Because he lived life. And it's a face that could just as easily have been Peter's face, or Mary's face, or Airdrie's face, or your face, or my face. So when the clouds part during Jesus' baptism, and God speaks here these words, you are my child, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased, because God is speaking to you just as God spoke to Christ. In claiming Christ, we are claimed. And in calling Christ, we are called. As children of God, we are gifted with the same love which Christ received. But we're also tasked with the same mission. A mission to bring that message of love to those who feel that they have been forgotten, to feed those who are hungry, and to shelter the homeless, heal the sick. Christ did this by virtue of his divine nature, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are led to the places where God is seeking to work through us. Let us go from this place with all our imperfections, perfect in God's sight, to be Christ and to see Christ in all that we meet. Amen.